It's time for another Midweek Mini. We are so glad that you are here with us. We are Mary Ellen and Joe, and we love chatting about all things travel and points and miles. Today, we are going to get into our own review of the KLM Business Class and Economy. Kind of a, you know, compare and contrast. We flew both recently on our trip to Austria. So we are going to give you all the details. Are you excited, Joe?
Oh my gosh, I am so excited because we are literally fresh off of this trip. So we have lots to say. It was my first time in business class by choice, I feel like I need to say. I personally like to stretch my points, and often I'm traveling with other people, and we're definitely not going to splurge on multiple business class seats on a regular basis. But this was for my 35th birthday. We found an amazing deal. And so it was time, and it was glorious, but we did fly business class one way and economy home, as one does when they try to stretch their points. So we have lots to say about KLM in general. Before we get started, I have gotten some messages from some of you who noticed that we just like very casually and without fanfare put in a new intro, a new outro, shifted our midweek mini music a little bit, and dropped some new cover art. We did not say anything about it. We just did it at the beginning of this year. And so hope it's not too shocking and too much of a change for all of you. We have some really big things coming this year. And so we just felt like we wanted to start everything out fresh. I did actually consider even starting this to be called season two, but at this point, 200 episodes in, I was like, I don't think we have seasons here. I think we're just one long running show. I think on the back end, people don't understand, like, in every episode, it makes you put what season and what episode when you're like typing in all of the back end stuff. So I've been typing season one for close to 200 episodes now. So
yeah, I mean, our podcast season. Yeah, we're well over 2 years now, guys, and we haven't missed a single week in over 2 years. Now, we added in a second episode a little over a year ago, and so we haven't missed one yet. So we're really thankful for that. We hope that you appreciate the consistency of us being a weekly show of driving you to work, you know, if you're commuting or while you're folding laundry, if you're listening to us, no matter how you're listening to us, we appreciate you, and we hope that you will continue inviting us into your lives.
Yeah, it means the world to us. All right, let's not waste any more time and tell the people about what they're here to hear about. Well, first of all, maybe we talk about how this happened, right?
Yes. Yes, I think that we should. So as Joe mentioned, we flew KLM business class from IAD, which is Dulles, Washington, D.C. area, over to Austria. It was not a direct flight. We stopped in Amsterdam and had a connection. So the whole reason this came about, though, is we wanted to go somewhere for Joanna's special 35th birthday, and we wanted it to be led by the deal. We always say we want to just not even have a place in our minds. We just want to find an awesome flight deal and just be able to go for it. And so that's really, like, we just started searching for flight deals. We originally thought we were going to end up in Paris. Then there were not multiple business class seats with the deal. And so Austria just became what it was because we got such a great deal.
Yeah. I mean, I think it started when I saw a reel, right? And someone was talking about, hey, right now on Flying Blue, look at all the places you can go. Plus there's a transfer bonus. And that was what we ended up taking advantage of. I think that our ticket, when we finally ultimately landed on Vienna, our ticket total was 45,000 miles, but because there was an awesome transfer bonus at the time from American Express to Flying Blue, we were able to do it for 38,000 points. And for a lot of us who've done a lot of racketing, I just made that into a verb, and had a lot of American Express points, that felt like a really easy decision for me. And I want to say, correct me if I'm wrong, taxes and fees, I'm thinking we were at like 250-ish. Does that sound right?
That sounds like the ballpark. So 38,000 points, which was such a no-brainer for business class.
Yes. Just $6,600 cash flight. I looked it up.
Yes. Love it. It was worth it. We would book it again in a heartbeat. So let's get into the experience, though. So we started at, well, I started at Dulles Airport. Joanna actually had to fly, unfortunately, from St. Louis to DC. I picked her up at DCA, which, if those who aren't familiar with the area, is actually in Washington, DC. That's Reagan Airport. I picked her up at that airport, drove us to the other airport, which is IAD, which is technically in Virginia, and that's where we flew out of. But we got to enjoy, we did a little lounge hopping at the beginning.
So fun.
So much fun. Everyone knows at Dulles Airport, you've got the Capital One Lounge. That is where we started. Then we were like, all right, let's see what Priority Pass can get us. And then because we were flying business class, we knew that we got access to the Flying Blue Air France KLM lounge before our flight. So we hopped around a little bit.
Yeah, and this was really fun. It was excellent timing because, as longtime listeners of the show know, I still do not have a card with lounge access because it's just not that valuable for me. I don't have any lounges where I live. I am not often having enough time or flying out of places that do have lounges. So it hasn't been worth it for me to have one of those cards with those high annual fees. So right now, Mary Ellen still has the Capital One Venture X, which still includes a guest. So that is going away, but this was perfect timing for us to be able to do lounges together one last time. I'm going to have to now actually consider getting my own something that has lounge access because it's just so nice. And once you get used to it, it starts to really shift your brain chemistry a little. Then you're down by the gate. Just with, you know, feeling like you're in some kind of cattle herding situation and you're like, what? This is not, I don't like this anymore. One more thing about the lounges is that we had a hilarious experience with transitioning from Capital One to the Virgin Atlantic Clubhouse. I would not recommend anybody waste their time if they have other options besides the Virgin Atlantic Clubhouse. It was just the Capital One Lounge has so many options. And then the Virgin Atlantic Clubhouse had like a sandwich and a cookie and then stuff you could pay for. So it was a stark and startling difference. Although if you had nothing, I'm sure it would have been very nice, much nicer than sitting at the gate.
And I did enjoy the Air France KLM Flying Blue Lounge.
Oh, yeah, that was
nice. That one was nice as well. It had some good options. It actually had options. I have a very, I don't know if I should say childish, young palate, the palate of a five-year-old, okay? I don't like fancy food. So honestly, with business class flights, you know, I see all these reels of all these business class flights on various airlines, and I just think to myself, I would not want any of that food. That food would not be appealing to me. I don't like fancy food. So Capital One lounges, I love. I will continue to love them, but their food is a little on the fancier side. It is nice. They use famous chefs. I mean, they're very, you will enjoy it if you have the palate of an adult, a refined palate. I do not. So the Air France KLM lounge had a little bit more of an arrangement that I could appreciate.
Yeah, I personally loved the mushroom crostini at the Capital One Lounge. That was a big win for me. But honestly, free food is free food. I'll take it where I can get it because airport food is so expensive. So we get on this flight, literally immediately forget that there is even a left. Because you have to remember, like, most of the trips I go on are domestic. Again, like, we're stretching a very small amount of time when it comes to PTO, and I want my points to go far. So the trips where I get on planes that the pilot is not immediately to your left is very rare. And then I got to turn left and have this opportunity to walk into this incredible cabin where I was just kind of mesmerized by this entire thing. I was like, you know what? Don't get used to this, Joanna, because we want to go on 10 trips a year, not one trip a year. So just enjoy it while you have it.
Now, it's worth noting that KLM has a couple of different types of aircraft. We were on a business class flight that had a 2-2-2 configuration. There are some that have, I believe it's more of a 1-2-1. It matters, is all I'm trying to get to, is look at the configuration for the flight. Because Joanna and I were together, it was okay that we were in a 222 configuration. You are kind of intimately close with your seat partner as you lay down. In order for Joanna had the window seat, in order for her to get up and go to the bathroom, she had to climb over me, which was fine because we're friends. But if I was with a stranger, I would much prefer to be in a configuration where, you know, I was by myself or I could kind of separate myself from the other person. On this plane, we were together and enjoying it as a couple does.
It was very cozy and very sweet. But I think one of the things that struck me instantly, besides the fact that, like, oh my gosh, that chair is just so comfortable, even when you're not lying flat, like just having your legs up feels like the most luxurious thing in the world when you're used to just constant economy flights. But the food from the start, astronomically different than any experience that you're having in economy when it comes to food. Like, someone cooks this for you. It's not like a microwavable plate with a peel off plastic top. It is incredible. And, you know, they bring you a drink before and a towel. Was it hot or cold? I can't remember. I think it was a hot towel.
I think it was a warm towel on the way there in business class. In economy on the way back, it was a cool towel.
That's what it was. That's why
they can't afford the warmer for the plebeians in the back.
They also can't give butter in the back of economy. And we both fell in love with this KLM butter. I've never tasted anything like it. It came with the roll.
Spoiler alert. It was the highlight of the flight for me was the butter that came with the business class flight. I have since gone on a mission to find it. Guys, I made this whole reel that I never even published because it was like, how can I find this butter? Someone help me find this butter. I have since Googled the butter. Come to find out, I think it is available in some Whole Foods in the U.S. And so I don't have a Whole Foods immediately in my town. I do have one in a town nearby. I am planning to go there just for the butter. Guys, I will tell you the brand because I can't, you know, we can't talk it up and then not tell you what it is. Okay, it is called Banner Butter Sea Salt. Okay, small batch. Cultured butter, the sea salt. Oh, it comes from grass-fed. Oh my gosh. I cannot even tell you. I'm just thinking about it. It was the best butter I've ever had in my entire life. I will keep dreaming about it. We went all over Austria. I kept chasing it at the Park Hyatt, at the restaurants in Austria. I was like, please, someone, surely you have this magical butter. And even on KLM Economy on the way back, I was so hopeful that we would get the good butter. And we did not. But now I know, and I'm going to find that butter.
Well, I make my own butter a lot, and cultured butter is actually something that has been coming across my Instagram recently. So I will be trying my hand at making cultured butter. Don't think it will taste like Dutch butter because none of our dairy here in the United States is going to be as good as what comes from overseas. But I wanted to run through just an example of the menu with you guys a little bit. The appetizer options were a stacked lobster salad with fresh mango avocado sweet chili sauce topped with roasted cashew nuts or a creamy cauliflower curry soup. You can imagine Mary Ellen was thrilled about both of these appetizers.
Yeah, I opted for no appetizer, actually. I was like, you know, I could take this and take a picture of it, but I'm not going to eat it. So keep your appetizer. I'm good.
I should have told you to get the soup and I would have eaten that too because they both sounded really good to me. Obviously, I tried to go with the more bougie of the two. So, and actually, to be completely honest, I'm not that picky, but I didn't love the texture of the lobster salad. I ate it because I was going to eat every bite of everything put in front of me on this flight.
Now, I did love the main course. I did. Yes. I didn't have the appetizer, but the main course, I got beef. It had some potatoes, some carrots, a little apple something maybe, strudely.
Cinnamon apples.
Cinnamon apples. That's what it was. Cinnamon apples. All of that I liked. I actually kind of laughed at the dessert when it came because I think it was kind of like a, I don't know, maybe it was like a cheesecake with raspberries. And then it had little marshmallows just kind of thrown all over the top.
So weird.
It was very unrefined, which I can appreciate. Because again, yes, I don't care about that. I want it to be the least refined possible, probably, for my taste buds. So I was cool with the mini marshmallows, but I did laugh at it because I thought everything else has seemed so fancy until now with the mini marshmallows.
Yeah, I thought that was hilarious too. I opted for the cheese plate for dessert, which was amazing to me. I'm not a huge sweets person, so I really enjoyed that. They also had a fantastic salad that had goat cheese, pear, honey glazed walnuts, and balsamic vinaigrette, and that was amazing. And then roasted sunchoke was their vegetarian option, and they also had a chicken option. We both got the beef, and it was great. It was really, really yummy. It feels crazy to be eating like that in the sky to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just too basic. But I think what's hard about these flights is that when all is said and done and you finish your meal, especially if you have a connection and you're not really going that far, I think it was 7.5 hours. When all was said and done, we really honestly had maybe 3 hours to try to sleep. And I was too excited.
I've often said, and I think I might be changing my tune on this, shockingly, I've often said, okay, if I'm going to be business class only one way, I want it to be the overnight portion so that I can lay down and actually hope to get some sleep. But in reality, I think I've realized now that I've done it several times, if I'm having to choose and I'm not going to be business class both ways, the truth is I'm not going to sleep much anyway. Because when it's business class, I want the meal and then I want the breakfast because I just want to see everything. You are excited. And when it's just to Europe, you don't have that long, really, realistically, mm-hmm. to sleep. So you don't sleep great either way. You do sleep better laying down flat. That is true. Lie flat, you're going to sleep better. But it's still so little that I'm like, you know what? Maybe it is worth it to do it on the way back when it's a daytime flight. I'm awake the whole time.
It's
so
longer.
I can truly just enjoy it. Yeah, the flights are a little bit longer on the way back and you can just enjoy it the whole time, yeah, rather than feeling like you need to try to get some sleep. So I think I might be changing my tune.
I think I might be right there with you, especially because after a trip like this, we're just going. I mean, I was just so exhausted and I was a little sore. My knees were hurting from, as they do, from everything, because I have horrible knees genetically. That would have been such a nice time to almost feel like your vacation is still going a little bit,
right,
especially because it was more like 9 hours on the way back. I think I can see the benefit there, especially knowing me and how excited I get, and that I'm probably not going to sleep anyways on the way there because I'm just going to have too much adrenaline and excitement. I think it's almost better to just count on that to float me through and to kind of, I mean, we were in premium economy on the way to England and we were still sitting up, and I don't think I was any more tired on that trip than this one, even though I got to lie flat for some of that. So I can kind of see switching your tune on this. I don't obviously have a lot to compare to, but I think I might try for the way back next time.
Yeah. So let's chat about the economy flight, because the way, uh-huh, back we flew economy. And first off, I guess we should mention before we go to the economy, on the way there, when we connected in Amsterdam, we had access, because we were business class, we had access to the KLM lounge, which is a flagship lounge because you're in Amsterdam. So nice. It was wonderful. We were so stuffed from eating in the Capital One lounge hopping at Dulles. Then we ate on the plane. I also ate the breakfast they brought us on the plane. And then we went to the KLM lounge. So I felt like I had been eating for about 15 straight hours. So I wasn't actually very hungry in the lounge, but I wasn't not going to eat the food in the lounge. So yeah, it was good. And then the way back, being economy, we no longer had access to that KLM lounge, which was kind of sad because we were in the Amsterdam airport. We knew it was there, but we couldn't go in it this time. We did have Priority Pass lounge. We tried to go into a Priority Pass lounge and the line was so long. We literally were there 3 hours before we needed to connect to our next flight. And still, we were on that wait list, and it was taking so long that eventually we gave up. We never went in the lounge. We just went to McDonald's instead, which was very sad.
It was sad, especially because our flight ended up getting delayed an hour. So we hopped off of the waiting list. And what our tip for that would be, as soon as you land, first thing is go check and see if there's a waiting list for the Priority Pass option in your terminal. If we had done it right away, we probably would have gotten a little bit of time in the lounge, but we just hadn't had experiences any of the entire rest of the trip with lounge waiting lists at all. We'd walked right in basically everywhere. And so I don't think either of us were really thinking in terms of that. So, and we had so many hours, we were like, well, surely we'll get in eventually.
We had so much time.
Yeah. Yep. But you know what? Plus side, we got to try McDonald's in both Austria and in Amsterdam. So, you know, the menus are different everywhere. And I rather enjoyed attempting McDonald's mozzarella sticks, which ended up to be terrible. But, you know.
Yeah. Pass.
It's experimenting is fun for me. So.
That's right. So we did fly economy on the way back. Again, we were in two seats on the side. Joe had the window. I had the aisle because I don't have officially any kind of restless leg syndrome, but I do have the hyperactivity or something. I cannot be still that long. I cannot be locked into a window seat or I go crazy. I got up. I'm sure the people around us were, I don't know what they thought about me because I was up concerned about how many times I went to the bathroom, how many times I got up to walk around, at least once an hour. Yep. For like the 8-hour flight. So I got up frequently, but what we were shocked by on that economy flight was how little space we had under the seat in front of us. Our book bags, we both had book bags. I've had that same book bag on quite a few flights at this point. This was the first time I could not fit it under the seat in front of me.
Yeah. The fact that this was an international flight and I had zero trouble on my flight from St. Louis to Washington, D.C. on a tiny plane. I had zero trouble sliding that book bag with exactly the same amount of things under the seat. And the fact here, I actually reached my hand under the seat to figure out what was happening. And I think it's their life vest contraption or something. Something is hanging under those seats that causes it to come down many, many inches and leaves almost no space for anything to slide under there. There were a lot of things when we got on that plane that I was like, oh my gosh, like this is, especially when you're exhausted and then you feel the kind of claustrophobia of like, my bag doesn't even fit. So I can't move my feet because my bag is sitting on top of my feet and there's no space left in the overhead bins. And then you look up and there's no air control above your head. You can't open the vent. I was starting to feel like, am I an anxious flyer now? Like, do I need a medication? I'm not sure I'm okay.
Yeah, and they did come overhead and tell us that the reason we were leaving an hour late, that our flight got delayed, was because the original aircraft we were supposed to be on had something mechanical go wrong and was not suitable to fly. And so they switched out our aircraft.
That's
which
scary.
Never makes you feel good. And I don't know if this was the same. I think it was the same type of aircraft. You know, the seating configuration was the same. But I don't know if it was older, if it would literally was a one-to-one match, the same exact type of plane we would have been on. But I will say for the ones who want to get up and walk around like me, the bathrooms on this plane were bigger. There were some mm-hmm. bigger ones as far as plane bathrooms go. I appreciated that. I visited many of them just to switch it up from time to time, give myself a little variety. And in the back of the plane, as many, you know, transatlantic and international flights do, in the little galleyway at the back, there were some drinks and snacks sitting out so that at any given time when I wanted to go wander around, I could go hang out back there with the other restless people and get a cup of tea or something to drink, eat some snacks, chit chat with them in the back. So just know that that option exists for you. If everyone else is sleeping and you're like me and you can never sleep on a plane, you know, there are other people like you hiding out in the back.
I love that. I did also notice when we were getting onto the plane, as we were walking through the kind of premium economy section, that first, now, I mean, I would need to figure out exactly which aircraft we were on so that you guys could replicate this, but the first row of the premium economy section, that kind of bulkhead row that has all of that extra leg room, as well as being a little bit extra reclining and that kind of thing. I thought that looks like a super good use of paying to upgrade. And if I am remembering correctly, those seats were under $100 to upgrade to that. So were we ever going to consider spending $600, $700 to upgrade to a business class seat? No, obviously not. But I think there is something to be said for, would I pay $100 for a 9-hour flight in a way more comfortable seat with way more space? I might. Also, I think it's important to note how much we paid for this one in points.
I believe if you're looking at KLM flights, it is called Economy Comfort rather than Premium Economy. And I only say that because we weren't real sure. When we were looking at it, we were like, does that mean premium? Like, what exactly does Economy Comfort mean? You know, every airline kind of puts their own verbiage on what that's called. Also, if you're thinking about doing that very front seat, you do get a little extra room sometimes before the bulkhead. But if you have both a rolling carry-on and a book bag, just think about it, because you won't have a seat to put anything under in front of you. And sometimes they get a little feisty about you putting two things in the overhead bin. So that's why I traditionally have shied away from that front row seat, just because I hate checking bags. A lot of times I have two carry-ons, you know, a personal item and a carry-on, and that gets a little tricky.
Oh, and you did have to check a bag on the way back. And I think that we should also tell you guys that in Vienna, the line to check a bag for this KLM flight was very long in the morning. So that is something to consider. We had tried to get a little bit of feedback and do a little research on standard, like what security is like at the Vienna airport. And security was no big deal, but they had severely understaffed those bag check desks. So that if you're going to be checking a bag, give yourself plenty of extra time. We spent for this flight 18,750 miles. And I think it was a little bit hard for both of us to stomach the fact that we transferred 38,000 points to fly in this $6,000 business class seat. And we spent 18,000 to fly in this super, super cramped economy seat with, honestly, the food was rough. The food was rough, guys. It was rough. But it was food and it was free.
Overall, I think both the KLM economy and business class, I would do again. If the price is right, I would do them again. It was not a horrible experience. I think the KLM business class was a very nice experience. Again, had I been flying alone, I would have been a little disappointed with the seating configuration. I think a lot of airlines are phasing out that type of seat just because it's way too close to the person beside you. But because we were together, it was totally fine. If I was going with a spouse or a friend, it's great. I mean, it is totally fine. Either way, KLM. Oh, we didn't even mention. Okay, this mini is going way too long, but did not even mention on the business class flight, if you fly KLM at the end, they come by with this tray of Delft pottery, and you get to choose your own little house, and there's a variety. They are numbered on the back, so if you fly KLM business class, you know, more than one time throughout the year, you can pick a different one and have a little collection. It was so cute and so fun.
Yeah, except that I have yet to find mine still, and I'm pretty sure I left it on the plane.
No!
I have not found it yet. And I don't remember putting it in my bag. I don't remember what I did with it after I took it and held it in my hands. I was so out of it.
It was all a bit of a blur. It was all a bit of a blur.
We hadn't slept at all. They'd woken us up for breakfast. It was like, yeah. So anyways, hopefully it turns up somewhere. But it certainly was not in my backpack. And I don't know how I would have gotten it into my carry-on on the plane. So it was above my head.
You know where I put mine? In the amenity kit. Did you look in your amenity kit yet?
No, but I'm about to as soon as we hop up this recording.
Okay, maybe it's in the amenity kit.
Oh, that would be great.
So overall, either way, we had a great experience. We'd fly KLM again. The Amsterdam airport was pretty easy to navigate. Didn't take particularly long. Two thumbs up. We had a great trip, and let us know your experience. Have you flown KLM? We want to know what you thought about it, how you compare it to other airlines. put that in the Facebook group. We want to hear about any and every trip that you take with points and miles. Share in the group so that others can learn from you and learn what they want to take advantage of, what they want to avoid. We all can learn from each other.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for joining us. Make sure that you are following, subscribing to the show, leaving a rating and a review. Those are all the absolute best ways that you can support the show. We will see you guys here next time. We hope you have a great week.
Bye, guys.
Thank you so much for joining us for today's episode. We hope you learned something new and feel inspired to plan your next trip.
Remember, we're travelers sharing our experiences, not financial advisors. So always do your own research and make informed decisions.
If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to like, subscribe, and follow so you never miss a Points and Miles tip.
We'll see you next time on Wonderland on Points.